Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
Welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid, and my name is Brian David Thompson. And I want to thank you guys for listening. I also want to remind you to subscribe and tell a friend and all that good stuff. And we are, of course, as usual, recording from Las Vegas. And I've got CK on mic over here.
How are you? Hi.
Hello.
Hey, thank you for listening. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. It's a beautiful day in Las Vegas. And we're in the 70s this week. We have sunshine. It's awesome. So thank you for listening. And also thank you to the Streams of Many Waters podcast network. Be sure and check out the other great podcasts going on. But thank you for tuning in. This is going to be a different one today.
Well, what it is a prophetic message. This is from CK. This is going to be a special treat for you guys. So you should be looking forward to it. I am. And this was recorded on January 31st. It's sort of an extended prophetic message, word of the Lord. Basically, I'm going to go ahead and let Mike talk a little bit about this. We've got Mike Thompson also in the studio. I think you're plugged in there. You got a microphone? Go ahead.
Yes, Brian. In fact, CK will probably explain a little bit further, but I did want to share that in the Old Testament and also in the New, that prophets often use music to usher in prophetic anointing and create an atmosphere that's conducive for the voice of the Lord. A good example is 2 Kings 3:15, when Elisha was summoned by three kings to give a word of the Lord to them. He said, okay, bring me a musician. And when the musician played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. So the prophetic anointing was connected with the prophetic musicianship and the music that came forth. We find that even in the New Testament, the Spirit of God is connected with music and with singing, all of those wonderful things. Ephesians 5:18-19, I believe. So at any rate, just listen and pay close attention to how that the music and the prophetic blend in the Spirit of God.
Yeah, you know, when Brian plays, and that I really want people to experience this. That's why it really mattered to me. The message itself is a good message that the Lord gave me, and part of it I'll just briefly say is it was about when I mention religion, I'm talking about religious spirits. I'm talking about that legalistic, fault-finding, critical, controlling thing that has for generations misrepresented God to the world and misrepresented his heart. That's what I mean when I say the word religion. The spirit of religion shuts down people's hearts, really precious people. And we need to remember that God loves people. And so the thing that matters to me is what people experience when they listen to this clip is that God always says yes and amen to you and to your destiny and your dreams. Religion will tell you no. And religion will try to shut down your destiny. It shuts down your anointing. People really don't realize how much anointing is involved in destiny and the call on your life. Whatever your passion is, whatever that thing is that God has stirred up within you, there's an anointing that goes with it. He always operates by anointings. The anointing breaks the yoke. You have an unction from the Holy One who dwells within you. God always says yes and amen, but religion generally comes to shut down the anointing. So the thing I wanted to say really quickly about this clip is that please notice that we are not playing a music CD in the background. That's not a music CD. That's Brian. This is Brian playing solo guitar. That's just one guitar in the service. Not that I've ever seen you play two at the same time, but sometimes it sounds like so many because of the way you play.
Oh, I see where you're
sometimes
what you're going for here.
It sounds like more than one person playing, or more than one guitar going on, when it's actually just Brian.
Okay, good to clarify. It's
so
just me.
It's just Brian playing solo guitar in the service, and when he plays, he ushers in the presence and glory of God. You can feel the love of God. You can feel it's just different. It's this part of the sound of the house, of this ministry. Mm-hmm. And for me, when we're up there worshiping, and I feel that anointing coming in. It's like riding. I call it riding the anointing. I just ride it. I mean, it's so awesome. It's like that musician that Elisha called for. It helps bring forth the prophetic word of the Lord. I ride the anointing when Brian plays, and I've seen other ministers that come to minister in our church, in our services, and Brian's up there playing, and then he'll start to stop and put his guitar down, and they'll say, "Oh, don't stop. Don't stop playing." I've seen you stand up there. Yeah. And play for 2 or 3 hours through an entire service.
That happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people don't realize how much that anointing, that the ministry or the person who is talking is basically riding the anointing while you play. It's such a blessing. It's such an amazing thing, and you don't see it very often, or if you do, people don't explain to the people what's going on.
Right, and that's kind of the reason for this, because you're mentioning that, because, it's a thing that happens a lot in this ministry, is that dynamic, and so a lot of times people don't understand what's going on.
Right.
And the anointing, so it's important to explain.
It's all about it, yeah, and I want them to hear it, I want them to experience it, and so I want to get right to it. I just wanted to mention that I'm riding the anointing when you hear this, when Brian's playing. Because you probably even noticed there's one place where Brian stopped when you stopped. And mm-hmm. I said, "Don't stop." And anyway, anointings work like that. I'm riding the wave. And I just want you to know that surf's up, man. When the anointing starts to flow, you ride the wave.
That's good. So I think we're going to get to it now. So without further ado.
Sounds good.
This is the word. Here we go.
Has to do with religion. Religious spirits have just badgered people for so long and tried to demand a certain behavior in order to appear like you're receiving. Shake it off. It's none of their business what you look like when you're receiving from God. They can't dictate and demand. Where are you? They can't dictate and demand. Religious control has just shut down so many people, hungry, honest people, because when you try to receive, that thing tries to dictate what you're supposed to look like while you're receiving, and just like it's watching you. What a bunch of junk. I'm cleaning this up. Okay, it's crap, it's what it is. Religion shuts down people's ability to receive from heaven. It has invaded the prophetic big time. It's just like sad, because religion just upgrades with each move of God, and so people don't recognize it. I cut off every spirit of religion right now. You know what? We have been fighting a fight all week long. Can you hear me or am I too reverby? We have been fighting a fight. Well, I started to say all week long. It's been going on longer. This snake. There's a snake. And a great big sucker. It's a spirit of religion, and every time you see a spirit of religion, and water spirits are usually the snakes are usually connected with the water, and they're usually in league with some denomination in town or a group of believers who believe that they're the only ones. It's a territorial thing, and they believe that they're the only ones that are allowed to bring the kingdom. Just, it's such a joke. Isn't that ridiculous? But I've seen it everywhere we go. Everywhere we minister, I have to fight that thing. When we go into a town, we always go in at least a day early, if not two or more, because we have to intercede. And I usually have dreams where that thing comes and introduces itself to me and the territorial demon over that place. And we, you know, I get to tell him exactly where he can go. Because those demonic religious spirits are in league with churches. Can we talk? They get in league with churches or groups, or even don't like to call themselves churches, so they are just the ecclesia or whatever it is, so that they are trying not to be churchy. They still don't get it. First of all, God ordained the church. It's a scriptural thing. The church is scriptural. We are the church, not the building, but we are the church. Sometimes you need a building. It's a tool. Just like Jesus needed a donkey to ride on. A building is a tool. It's a donkey. That's all. You gotta have it. And we will. But that thing comes in, and it tries to... Mike even preached a thing about the serpent and the spirit of religion. And man, we've just barely scratched the surface. And you wonder, like, why does she always harp on religion? Because that's the biggest thing we ever have to fight. If you want freedom, if you want revival, awakening, the move of God, if you want answers to prayer, I mean actual, the real deal, authentic destiny in your life, that's going to be the number one thing you're going to have to face and deal with and cut off, is the spirit of religion. That presents itself in so many different ways, from so many different sides, so many different forms, from so many different people, and they're usually very good-hearted people that don't even understand that they're caught up in the spirit of religion. They don't even know they're trying to do the right thing. Someone did it to them. It's been passed on for so many years, generations. The Apostle Paul had to deal with it. The Judaizers that came in and told his... The new Gentile converts that they all had to be circumcised. That was a spirit of religion that came to trouble and pester those new believers and tell them that faith in Jesus wasn't enough. Religion always has qualifiers and disqualifiers. And usually the only one that's qualified is the person that's in charge. Really? It's true. It's just like a big dysfunctional family, you know. Daddy's in charge, and he'll beat up anybody that doesn't want what he wants. And, you know, if you disagree with him, then you get kicked out. Or marginalized, or everybody wants to cast the devil out of you. Speaking as one who everybody tried to cast the devil out of, it didn't work because there wasn't any devil in me. I got saved. Well, it used to be the devil in me, but... I got saved. Then they got... Okay, I digress. Anyway, religion... Okay, this is how stupid religion is. I was in drugs. I was in all of those. I was just a mess. And my family and everyone was praying. Get her, pray for her, get her saved. They'd sneak up into my bedroom and they would anoint my bed when I was gone partying. Stuff like that. Which, okay, I appreciate their concern. But when God did get a hold of me, it wasn't the way they wanted. Then they really had to have prayer meetings because now I was speaking in tongues and they didn't want that. They would honestly had rather I'd be on drugs than speaking in tongues, being one of those crazy people that goes around laying hands on the sick. They seriously, their pastor came and consoled my father as if I had died. That wasn't just back then. I mean, that religious stupidity spirit has just upgraded with every move of God and just slipped in. Jezebel slips in, Pharisee slips in to every single move of God ever on the planet and tries to shut down what God is doing and bring in qualifiers and disqualifiers and rules and regulations and man-made standards and all this ridiculousness to get our eyes off of Him in heaven and being about the Father's business and try to make it about politics or try to make it about, boy, there's so much, that's where all this control and manipulation comes from in churches. And you know, I can stand in a service and I can feel where the manipulators and controllers are sitting, and I usually don't ever point them out because I, first of all, don't want to give the devil the satisfaction, and number two, the people are just ignorant. They don't understand. For the most part, they don't understand how bound they are and how much they need to be delivered. There are times that the Lord has told me to, he spoke to me in a dream one time and told me the particular woman I was praying for, he said, don't waste your time, she likes her demons. So I'm like, okay. The Lord told me that there was a word from there would be a word from the Lord for everyone who asked back in 2006. We spent an entire year after every service, after we dismissed the whole gang, you know, we had a church, you know, two services Sunday morning, all that business, and it just wore me out. But tell you what pared it down to Gideon's army was when we started doing the Word of the Lord every Sunday. We did it for a year after the second service. Every service on Sunday, instead of hanging around and them telling me what we did wrong that Sunday, I know. It's the best way to get rid of religious demons is the prophetic, because it cuts to the heart. What's the real deal? When people start using the prophetic to manipulate, all they've done is this religion took over, and now they're using their gifting, which God, the gifting and callings of God are without repentance. He doesn't take it back. But it grieves Him when we start using it to manipulate people. It turns into witchcraft. So anyway, we were doing the Word of the Lord every Sunday. And people, we were literally there for like 2, 3, 4 hours sometimes after the services. Because the glory would hit. Because He told me specific anointing. It's not just to get a nice word for whatever you think you want the word about. And He told it to me. It's not about Mike, it's about me. So I've had people say, I don't want to hear it from you, I want it from him. Well, good luck, because the Lord told me that. It's for me. That's my calling. And so, I mean, he can prophesy over everyone if he wants to, but the Lord didn't tell him to. Sometimes He does. we've gone to other towns and hold meetings, and we stay afterwards and give people words of the Lord until after midnight, and they're just stacked up like cordwood everywhere, and there's like angels sitting on them or something because they can't get up. And then once that anointing lifts, man, you almost have to carry me out because I could just drop, you know, just where your physical body can hurt. We learned a lot during that first year of operating in that anointing, and I was like doing things like chasing people down because they'd be standing in the line, and I would start getting close, and they would hear what I was saying to people because they come up and they would. Some people would be like kind of mad, like, "This is what I want. I want to hear from God about this." And the Lord would say to me, "No, go to the root." And I had to learn about how to not be afraid of man. No man fearing. You can't have a man pleasing demon. And operate in these things at the same time. You got to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser, or you can't be used that way, not the way he wants to. It's like a person going into the doctor's office and saying, "I sneeze. I'm sneezing." So all they do is deal with the sneezing. No, they're going to go to the root of it. God goes to the root. So as I'm going down the line, the Lord laying the axe to the root, and in front of every person, the Lord, you know, I'm having to stand there and listen to the Lord, because, and that's why there needs to be respect in the room when that's happening, because I had to learn all the visceral voices that are going on in the room. I could hear people in the congregation. I hear what people are thinking a lot in the service. Sorry. It's true. I'm sometimes really sorry. Like, "I don't want to know that, Lord. I'll pass them on to Mike. You pray for him." And but when you're standing there ministering to somebody, first of all, is going to be the voice of what they're hoping to hear. And then there's the voice of all their friends around them, what they're hoping they hear. And all of them usually have a different agenda of what they really think God ought to tell that person. So there's all these voices going on. And then there's a thing in your own self sometimes, if you know someone too well, or what you think they ought to say. You know, it's you have to be really brutally honest with yourself and walk in integrity and listen to God and not go with what you think they need to hear. Once you key into that and start recognizing the form of the Lord, that's what makes everything, that's what changes everything. That's what goes to the heart. And I've had them get mad because I did that. Or I've had them run because I did that. Because it got too close to something painful, and actually the Lord wanted to heal it. And if they just opened their heart and let him do that, then it would make all the difference in the world. But that they're afraid of him, then, because he's been so misrepresented. Is this making sense? But I have a commitment to the Lord, and I even asked him, "Lord, if you're going to ask me to do this, then please make me accurate and accountable and, there was another word, credible. Make it powerful. I don't want to just go around and give people words and then just go on living their lives. I want it to be life-changing. I want it to be really actually heaven coming through and changing lives. Otherwise, what's the point? I mean, everybody, I mean, you can go, there's probably 25, 30, 40, 50, 100 places you can go, and they'll prophesy to you anytime, you know, today. Why here? He said he would release anointings for supernatural youth. He wants to release anointings for supernatural finances. He wants to release anointings for supernatural healing of the heart. He wants to go to the root of the matter and release destiny into people. Stir up the destiny that's already in their DNA. He wants to just cause people to wake up and participate in what he's doing on the planet right now. And that's what I'm accountable for. That's what I'm responsible for. And I was before that a very, very shy person, and I still kind of am, but I when the anointing gets on me, then I just cut loose and tell you what he says, and then I'm hearing it right along with you and hoping I don't get hit or something. It's sometimes it's scary to tell people what the Lord is saying, or especially when he doesn't warn me what I'm going to say, and then it comes out like, whoa, oh no, and then I start backing away. Now you guys pray for me, stay right there and just enjoy that anointing, and I'm going over here, because God is, he's doing something right now. He's doing something, and it's disarming people. People have so many barriers and walls that don't realize they have, and tactics of keeping God just this far away from their heart, because they're afraid he's going to see stuff that they don't want to let go of, or they don't think they can change, or don't think they want to change, or that it's just too painful and they don't want to deal with it. Whatever it is, he knows. He already knows. You know, he already understands. He gets it. He gets you. He made you. He knows what you've been through. He knows there's a lot of, there are people in this room right now that are mad at God. And a lot of you don't even realize you're mad at God. Some of you do. Or mad at church. And I don't blame you. I've said many times, if Mike were not, well, pastor, apostle, prophet, whatever you are, I don't know if I could go to church. Because I've been abused there so often that I just really don't want to have anything to do with that. And I pray with all my heart in my intercession during the week that, Lord, don't ever, ever let our church turn into that. Never. Never let it be a place where people are abused, because I couldn't live with that. That's not what we signed up for. No, sir. Either they're getting set free and delivered, and we're bringing the kingdom, and it's filled with hungry, humble people that really want to hear what God is saying, and they want to participate, and they want to know how to do it themselves so they can take it out there. Then that's what we're here for. But not to manipulate and control and tell everybody, you know, you're out of unity if you're not doing what I'm doing, or whatever the latest thing is. It's you hear my heart. You hear my heart. You really hear my heart. Because you feel the same way. And you're so fed up with it. You've been asking the Lord, what do I do? Because there's people in your life right now that are trying to tell you where you should go to church. What is it, Lord? Where you should live. They're trying to usurp the Holy Spirit's place in your life. You hear from God, and they're trying to take away your confidence in that area that you can hear from God. And you, with a good heart, have humbled yourself to hear what other people have to say. But there comes a time when the Lord says, they are not your God, I am. And you can hear from me and do what I tell you. Because that's what's going to make the difference in your life. It's going to take you where God needs you to be. It's going to answer all those questions. Because I just see question marks all over the place with you. And one of the things, the Lord, every time I see you, and I don't know why, and it's, I hesitate to say it, but I gotta say it. In Proverbs, where it says, don't give your strength to women. And some translations throw in the word loose, and that's not in the original. It's not in the original. That's at the hands of the translators. Don't give your strength to women. And in other words, women that come along and try to do what I just was talking about. Try to usurp the Holy Spirit's position in your life. Treat you like you can't really hear for yourself. And God's raising up the men right now there's lots of women's groups, and that's a blessing, and that's good. But God is raising up the men, because Jezebel has emasculated the men. So that's part of it for you. But that's like, that's a word for everybody, and everybody that, is this thing on? Everybody that's watching out here, God's raising up the men. Stop giving your power to women, because the only reason they're doing it is because you're not. But see, I mean, not everything they're doing. Jezebel is a spirit that came into our country from Europe, and it's not technically a woman. Jezebel is not a woman. It's a spirit. Yeah, it's a spirit that uses someone else's authority to accomplish what she wants, what it wants. And so it buddies up underneath people who do have authority so that it can use that authority. And the Lord said, no. That's happening in the United States, that the men, that's why what... It's like war on men, really. It's not war on women. It's a war on men. They're not allowed to take their position and be the men they're called to be, just in general, because of that spirit in our country. The women are always happier when the men take their position. It's true. So here I am prophesying instead of letting you preach. Jane. Every man in here should take that as a word from God. God wants to raise you up. Don't give your power to women, but love your wives and listen to them, because you're probably married to a prophet or someone very prophetic, and you need to hear what they have to say. But ultimately, take your position. God's raising up the men, and it's about time. Because it's all about third heaven authority. When we were doing the word of the Lord every Sunday, wore us out. It was the most fun I had in the entire time we've been in the ministry. It was a riot. It was fun. When the glory of God is there, man, I was chasing people around the building because they didn't. Now see, I won't do that anymore. The Lord kind of, he had to teach me, but there were people standing in line. They'd get afraid because I was getting too close, and they'd take off running. So I'd chase them. I did. I'd chase them over and get them in the corner and then lay hands on them. The Lord told me later, don't do that. Okay, I won't chase you down anymore. Can I chase some of them down? They need to be chased down. Some of them need to be chased down. He said, let me chase them down. Like, okay, that's better. But there are times he actually has had me somewhat, you know, just not back off. I won't actually literally run and chase them anymore, but I won't back off if the Lord won't let, you know. There's sometimes the Lord wants to do something and they start backing away and just let them go. Okay, I'm going too far. Anyway, I had a point. I'm going to turn this over to my beloved husband. Oh, there was a thing about money in that. That the Lord was saying, the supernatural finances, it was part of the destiny of this day and age. And that was that snake that we had run into. That snake. That, yes, thank you, Lord. And I'll give it right to you. I'll give you the money,
you're
too.
Doing great.
That snake to threaten us, to shut down our freedom, to shut down what we're called to do, to tell us we have no right to be here, to try to censor us, and... worst of all, to shut down the flow of finances, and there's a lot of teaching, erroneous teaching in the body of Christ about money. And that's one of the things the Lord talked to me about in dreams, and he still does, is supernatural finances. And boy, it really quickly shows where people's hearts are. Either they're really hurting about it, or they're really mad about it, or they're really hungry for it. But God needs you to prosper. He needs you to prosper. It's time for you to prosper, and it's a supernatural thing. It's an anointing. Just as much as getting saved is an anointing. The Holy Spirit is an anointing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an anointing. Healing, it's an anointing. It's not something you could have done on your own. Supernatural finances is an anointing. And we are going to... Our current president brought a spirit of poverty into our country that set back the timetable a little bit on the last day's transfer of wealth, but the Lord is also setting that back in order because he's saying, rise up with a spirit of prosperity. It's the spirit of prosperity. It's a spirit. Poverty and prosperity have nothing to do with how much money you have. They have to do with, poverty manifests as just being shut down, powerlessness, fear of not enough, fear that if I give this away, there'll be nothing left for me. Fear. Poverty is all about fear. And like, oh no, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose that, I don't have enough, I don't, you know. And it manifests across the board in that, you know, the way we treat other people, the fact that, you know, the way we treat the Lord, we don't obey him. Like when he says, like, minister to that person over there, and we just sort of shut ourselves down, shut down our bowels of compassion. We stop caring about souls. We stop caring about other things. And we start becoming very self-absorbed because of our own little needs. That's the spirit of poverty. I know a lot of wealthy people who have a spirit of poverty. So it has nothing to do with how much money you have. But the spirit of prosperity... it's just the opposite. It's the most generous giving thing. It's agape in action. It's just like everything, you're a giver on all counts. You're open, your heart is open, you're honest. You're just like, okay, I'm willing to minister. I'm out of my pain, out of whatever I'm going through, I will do what I can. I want to bless. I just want to bless. I want to bless. I want to bless. I just want to bless. With everything, it's like taking on the characteristics of God, your Father, and acting like him. And it makes you prosperous. And it does manifest in money. It does manifest in actual money, supernatural money. That also manifests in souls, and it manifests in growth, and it manifests in destiny, and it manifests in having the impact you were called to have. That's prosperity. And that you actually finish your course having fulfilled everything, run your race having fulfilled everything you were called to do. That's prosperity. And it includes supernatural youth because it takes time. He's redeeming your time and he's redeeming your money so that you can fulfill that destiny, because he's a covenant God and he cannot lie. And he is going to keep his word to you if it's the last thing he does, especially for the boomers. And now it's going on to the busters and each generation that's starting to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not where I should be at this point in my life. But the reason he's going after the boomers is because we have to have an inheritance to give our children. If you don't have your inheritance, if you haven't laid hold of it, you got nothing to pass on. And so many of us have been ripped off. That's what happened to the boomers. They got ripped off every which way. They're also a generation with fire in their bones, and they were very idealistic, and about, like, in the 60s and 70s, civil justice, kingdom justice is what it was. Instruments of kingdom justice and didn't even know it. They just had a very strong sense of this isn't right, or, you know, that thing, you know, that man, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a prophet before his time, and most people, maybe probably most white people, don't understand that. They think he was just Baptista in my little world in Oregon. I was just a kid. I just thought he was just a black preacher that was involved in politics. And it wasn't until later when I heard his I Have a Dream speech and it just hit me like, he's talking about the glory of the Lord covering the earth. He's a prophet. He even knew before they killed him. He knew he was gonna die. He knew. That man was a prophet. God used him to bring kingdom justice. That's what the boomers are pretty much about. Idealistic. Willing to put their money where their mouth is. They really want righteousness. They want things to be set in order. And now they want, you know, like Caleb and Joshua and Caleb, you know, like, we want our mountain. We want our land. We want it now. Tired of waiting while the unbelieving generation died in the wilderness. And it's hard. It's hard to watch the unbelieving generation die in the wilderness. They're the same age. There's a whole bunch of them I've watched dying in the wilderness, and it just is a heartbreaker. I've tried to talk people. I prophesied. I don't know if anybody remembered this. Mike and his dad remembered. When your dad was 80 years old, he came up when we were doing the Word of the Lord. That year, he came up to the prayer line. He's a prophet. He was a prophet before his time. And he came up to me and he said, I need prayer because the doctor wants to do an open heart surgery. And he said, I'm not going to do it. I need the Lord to heal me. He just wasn't going to do it. And so I'm like, oh dear, my own father-in-law. Okay, help me here, Lord, because have you ever tried to prophesy to your own father-in-law? That's hard, especially when, you know, you really look up to him and he hears from God, and I want to make sure this is God. And I heard myself say, you're going to live to be 90. When you turn 90, you're going to look back and say, I made it. Well, he just died last June. When we were there, we just happened to be there. Mike got to spend several days with his father right before he died. We didn't know he was going home. He turned 90 last December. And so we were in there by his bed, and I said, do you remember that word from God? And he goes, oh yeah, he was sharp as a tack. And I said, so you want to go for another 10? And I was serious, and he knew it, man. And he was like, I knew he was just too tired. He was tired. And I'm like, but supernatural youth makes you not tired. But he was ready. And we're like, no. So I thought I had talked him into it. And then we left, and then 24 hours later, we got a phone call that he went home. And then the Lord showed me his mantle come down on Mike. These things are really powerful, you know? You can get to a point of accuracy in the spirit, and you know what you know. And it is so worth it, but it's also painful. It's not all fun and games. But the spirit of religion will try to shut you down, shut you off. I thought I forgot about that. Spirit of religion, that is like your number one enemy. That is the thing the enemy uses to try to shut down. Prophets, I mean, it's all through the Bible. It was the religious people that wanted, you know, kill prophets and Joseph's brothers are still trying to shut down the prophetic voice. They're jealous of that father's favor. That's what prophets have. And we wanted to raise up, we will raise up a company of prophets. You guys are the cops. We're warriors. That's what we're about. So that spirit of religion, and it was like manifesting. And I was watching from the live streaming last week because I literally was too weak to get out of bed. And so whenever that weakness thing comes on you, you have to know that that's a spirit of religion. Religion and witchcraft. People talking. It creates weakness and it creates confusion. So whenever you feel that going on, like really intensely, and a lot of times I can actually hear the voices. I mean, I've had dreams where I'm at the table and I can see the people sitting around the table eating and I can see who's saying what. I don't really want to know who's saying it, but I guess I'm supposed to know so I can pray. Whenever you feel that stuff, take authority over the spirit of religion and cut it off. Shut the door on it. I saw a water spirit that was in league with Klamath Falls. Was it Lake Mead and Havasu? And they're all in league with specific churches. And there's like one denomination in particular that is notorious. Don't stop, Brian. I need a minstrel. Thank you. Don't make me forget what I'm doing. Okay, Lake Havasu. Yeah. The water spirits are usually in league. They get in league with the city fathers, and then they get in league with whatever churches they can to control what revival looks like. So then they will allow certain things to look like revival, and that's all. That's all that's allowed. And if authentic revival starts to break out, they will do whatever they have to do to try to shut it down. And so that's what the fight is regarding the spirit of religion. We have to take authority over it. I'm not afraid of it. And then cut off the tentacles. I had to literally like yank a thing out of someone's back the other night, and I had never seen anything like that before. It was trying to just suck the life out of them, and it was a tentacle from a spirit of religion. I'd never seen that big of one before. When we first moved here, the Lord told me, every minister that comes to this town, either, if you don't hang in there, if you don't press in and understand the warfare that you're in here in this city. Because I saw a hierarchy of the strongholds over the city, and people come here from all over the world, and the demon not in charge over Las Vegas likes to collect them from all over the world. And so we have a lot of interceding to do, and yet it doesn't mean like lots and lots of hard work, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. It just needs somebody who knows what they're doing instead of just shadow boxing. Because when we're always praying for interceding for souls and revival, if you don't know what your enemy is and you don't know how to pray about it, you're always shadow boxing and you're not quite knocking that thing down. So the Lord showed it to me. He's like, okay, but boy, once you start taking on something like that, you need help. In prayer, you need intercessory help. In praying in tongues, you can say more in just Shambhala Vredisito than 25 hours in English. The power behind it. You're speaking heaven's words into that situation. And so I saw this thing and he said, preachers aren't, if they're not willing to be warriors and engage in that and this fight and be willing to fight the fight for souls, they will either quit or become religious and controlling. As long as we're religious, then the devil doesn't have to worry about us. You're not effective. We're not treat people like every other church and just decide whether people are qualified or not to be blessed, and stand in judgment over everything and everyone, and drive away all the souls that we were called to reach. So that's why I harp on it. That's why it matters. That's why the Lord says souls are in the balance over this. Souls are in the balance. Like, let's get real. There's some people that have made it their life's work to try to get somebody else saved. I see, like, with wives and husbands, and I'm going to say this one more thing, and then I'm going to quit. Really, I am. Really?
Finish it.
Okay. Part of the trick that the enemy does, wives that are believing for their husbands, and vice versa. But I've seen it more with women, probably because the guys, I don't know what the guys do. Maybe that's just the thing. I don't go to men's groups, so I don't know. And actually, the Lord actually told me not to really get involved in many women's groups. He's only as I lead you. That women have made it like a career, without knowing it, to ask for prayer for their husband. And they spend decades asking for prayers for their husband. And then they turn it into a gossip thing where every time you come to church, they're gossiping to everybody about their husband and how horrible he was this week. I've watched it. I know people who did this, and I was just absolutely blown away that they would actually do that. First of all, if you're praying for someone, you're not going to talk about them like that. But then you really would talk to all the church people and tell them about how your horrible husband, when he's not here, if he really needs the Lord that bad, you're still willing to do that to him? And then I watched this man actually got saved in this one situation where the wife did that. That was her, what I called her career. It might as well have been. That man got saved and filled with the Spirit, and he started coming to church. And you know how hard that was for him, because he knew that everybody in there had heard all of his bad stuff for years. First of all, I mean, talk about shutting the door on a person. Pharisee, you know, won't go in, won't let anyone else go in. Man, the fact that he busted through that and came was huge. But she did not know how to give up her career. She was so accustomed to that's what she did, she suddenly didn't have anything to talk about anymore. So then she had to change it up. He's not spiritual enough. You better pray for him, because I caught him doing this and this and this, and he was doing this sin over here, and he was doing that, and I couldn't get him to do this and this. And so, I mean, she just had to tweak her career, because he was saved now. So let's just change it up.
And she didn't want to give up the control.
Exactly. And it was religious control. And what she did was she ended up driving him back out of the church, and he went back to just what he was doing before. Broke our hearts. God wants to raise up the men and take careers away from the women, those kind of careers. She needed to get a life. That's what she needed to get. It really was a heartbreaker. He was an awesome guy. He's so gifted. They never got a chance.
And he stayed true to the Lord.
Yes.
And he and I would sit and talk for hours and do things on the side. And that's just one example of hundreds of people.
Yeah. And if you're really, really serious about praying for someone, praying them into the kingdom, don't make it your career to go around bad-mouthing and gossiping about them to everybody and calling that a prayer request. Intercessors know when to keep their mouths shut. So do prophets. Okay.
Is that a nice segue, huh?
Yes. And back to you. Here you go.
Don't you just love her? Hallelujah.
And there you have it. Good stuff. Real quick, Mike, closing thoughts?
I really hope that the people were able to feel the anointing. If you could feel the anointing from that clip, number one, that would be the most important thing, is to realize how the prophetic works and how that God flows and moves through anointings and how it enters your heart, changes your life. And number two, the message, the revelation that CK brought was very, very powerful. And I just want to say, men of God, it's time to arise as an army of men that are worshiping warriors, and let's take this land. Hallelujah.
All right. Good one. And that's going to do it for us today. So as always, I want to thank you guys for listening, and I want to thank the Streams of Many Waters Podcast Network, and we'll see you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com, or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters Podcast Network.